So if you're coming in, you can slip around here and get a muffin and coffee. Just, you know, do it maybe a little bit on the quiet side. Okay. Now, thanks everybody for coming. I want to get this thing correct here. Welcome to our class on Jesus. And as most of you know, we're spending a year, we're going to be looking at Jesus as a theme. And so in deciding which class, so we've been doing classes now for 6 or 7 years, we thought, well, maybe we should do a class on Jesus, okay? But this will be a little bit more specifically focused. We're going to focus in on evidence for Jesus, who he is, how we can know that, things like that, okay? So who is the real Jesus? I taught a class on this just last summer at King's College in London for the campus group, which was a lot of fun. Right, now, in talking about Christian evidence or Christian apologetics, by the way, when we say apologetics, we don't mean I'm sorry for believing in Jesus. That's not what it means. Apologetics means to explain. So when we're talking about apologetics, we're talking about explaining reasons for the faith that we profess. And there's two kind of broad areas of Christian evidences, at least that I would describe. One branch is essentially defending faith. These are evidences that probably are not that somebody's going to say, they look at this and go, oh yeah, I need to become a Christian, all right? For example, you show history and archaeology, you show them the Tell Dan in Scripture, and they're going to say, I repent of my sins and become a Christian, you know what I'm saying? Or you could show them the Taylor Prism or all this other really awesome, amazing archaeological evidence. That's really more useful for defending people who try to criticize the Bible. They say it's a bunch of fables, and there was no such thing as David. You show them the Tell Dan inscription, which mentions David and his descendants. So that's more defense of Christianity. How we got the Bible, you know, people say that, just this week I heard somebody say, yeah, Constantine rewrote the Bible to change it so that Christians would believe in God. That's utter nonsense. But again, if you show somebody the Rylands papyrus from 125 AD, and by the way, did you know that just in the last 3 or 4 months, they published a manuscript from 80 AD, from the 80s AD. So we're talking about a piece of mark from within about 30 years of when it was written. That's sort of cool.
Wow.
But again, you know, if somebody sees, it's just a tiny strip of papyrus taken from a burial mass, and somebody sees that, they're going to go, hey, man, I'm going to repent of my sins and give my life to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? That's more to defend the critics. Science and Christianity, again, I don't think people are going to become a Christian because of something about the Big Bang or whatever. However, areas that I believe we can use to convince people, to help people to become a Christian, are the stuff we're doing this class. Oops. Prophecy. Prophecies about Jesus. Evidence for the resurrection. The claims of Jesus. I think these are offensive weapons. Not like to be offensive, like I'm going to be offensive to you, call you an idiot. But I believe that these are things we can use to help people to become Christians. All right, so, and hopefully, there might even be some people here who are not sure exactly where they're at and the whole thing of whether they're going to follow Jesus. So, good. Came to the right class. I don't even think so, anyway. All right, so, just to get us thinking here, I'm going to show you the outline in a minute. Today's class is about who is Jesus. Who is this guy? Some people would say he was a sage. That's not like parsley and rosemary, okay? A sage is a wise man. What religious figure in history would have been described as a sage?
Confucius.
Solomon, okay. Confucius. Anybody else?
Buddha. Augustine.
Buddha. Okay, so maybe Jesus was a sage, a wise teacher, wiser than most, one of the wisest guys out there. A prophet. Are there any other religious figures, important ones that it was claimed that there were prophets?
Muhammad,
for sure. Yeah, go ahead. No, a prophet. Somebody who said, people said, this guy was a prophet. A prophet would be one who communicates to people, basically somebody who speaks for God to the people, essentially. Okay. So Muhammad is one.
Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith claimed to be a prophet.
Russell.
Charles Taze Russell, no, he did not claim to be a prophet. He's talking about the founder of the Jehovah's Witness. We'll talk a little bit about Jehovah's Witness, view of God, of Jesus, in class next Saturday. He didn't claim to be a prophet. He claimed to be a inspired teacher, but okay, not much difference, I suppose. How about people mentioned Moses? Moses.
Daniel.
Okay. Baha'u'llah, the founder of the Baha'i faith. A number of people claim to be a prophet. A liar. Some people would say that Jesus was an absolute liar, a pretender, a crazy person. And you might be aware that some people, even in his day, accused Jesus of being crazy. Yeah. Messiah. Has anybody else claimed to be Messiah? Not a whole lot of claimants to that one.
Jim Jones. Moses.
Yeah, what's his name? The guy from the Moonies, Reverend Moon. Reverend Moon claimed to be the Messiah. And did Joseph Smith claim to be the Messiah? Well, that's it, yeah.
Moses definitely
did not. Son of Man, that's an interesting title. God in the flesh. That would be quite a claim. Imagine somebody claiming to be God in the flesh. Some people would say he's just a legend, a myth. I think we'll get that far today. We'll talk about this. This is a very current thing out there. It's all over the internet. I get lots of questions. You know, how do I respond to this claim that Jesus is just a compound myth made out of Horus and Isis and all these other things? So we'll talk about that. Some people would say he was just a man, just a person. And other people would say he was just one important religious leader amongst many. Now, actually, somebody could be more than one of those at the same time, right?
Yep.
Give an example of maybe two or three that could be contained in the same person. Okay, go ahead.
I can think of Cesar Chavez and Gandhi.
Okay, which so they could be more than one of these? Which two categories would...
Well, Cesar Chavez could have been a crazy person.
Okay, maybe. Some people thought he was crazy. I don't know. He certainly risked his life. But no, I don't think anybody would accuse Cesar Chavez of being insane.
No.
I don't think so. So we're using crazy in colloquially.
Yes.
Ha ha ha, crazy. But no, not crazy.
Not.
So, all right, Gandhi. All right, what about Gandhi? Which of these would Gandhi perhaps have been labeled as?
Sage.
A sage? A man? He was not an important religious leader. In fact, he avoided religious labels. All right, what other two or three might be lumped together possibly in the same person? Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, that dude. So we thankfully we've forgotten his name.
David Koresh.
Yeah, he was a liar.
He claimed to be a Messiah, sort
yes.
of.
Yeah.
Claimed to be Jesus.
Liar.
Important religious leader. All right, now.
Jim Jones.
Okay. Now, what about Jesus? Would Jesus kind of would Jesus have claimed to be a sage?
No.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, even the Pharisees called him a wise teacher. All right, prophet, definitely. I don't know about liar, son of man. All right, is that guy, was he an important religious leader amongst many?
Yeah.
No, he's not. He didn't claim to be me, and these other dudes were all kind of in the same place. Muhammad said that. Baha'u'llah definitely said that, the founder of the high faith. Okay. And by the way, that's the Hindu view of Jesus. So who is this man? Yeah, we did a debate, our organization, Apologetics Research Society, we did a debate 5 years ago between Robert Price and Douglas Jacoby. And Price is one of these scholars who says that Jesus is just a legend. He said his view is probably there was an actual person named Jesus who probably was a bit of a rebel, a revolutionary, but virtually everything that Christians believe about Jesus is pure utter myth made up by people after the time of Jesus. You know, there's C.S. Lewis, the main part of our lesson today is going to be this C.S. Lewis idea. C.S. Lewis created the trilemma. It's called the trilemma. Liar, Lord, or lunatic. All right? He has to be either liar, Lord, or lunatic. But that's in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. But as of the 1980s and 90s, a fourth possibility got added to the list, which nobody in their right mind would have even proposed 80 years ago. Legend. It just so happens they all start with an L, so I kind of like that. You know, liar, Lord, legend, or lunatic. And I believe, based on the things we're going to look at today, that we kind of have to pick. He certainly can't be a legend and Lord. All right? He certainly can't be a legend and a lunatic. All right, so we're going to consider some of those possibilities. Okay, now here's the outline of the class. All right, this morning we're going to do Jesus and other world religions briefly. World religious leaders, rather, kind of introduced the idea there a little bit. And then the principal thing is we're going to look at the claims of Jesus, what Jesus said about himself. That kind of sets the stage. And I believe by the time we finish looking at the claims of Jesus, the possibilities become pretty limited. Okay? And then we're going to look at the Jesus myth. The myth that Jesus is a myth. And I don't know if we're going to get to other pictures of Jesus. We can look at the Muslim Jesus, the Hindu Jesus, the Mormon Jesus, the Jehovah's Witness Jesus. And then probably we'll be doing that next week. And then I will also be looking at extra biblical sources on Jesus. In other words, people would say, well, you can't really believe what the Bible says about Jesus because they believe in Jesus or something like that. By the way, I believe that argument is really quite irrational. All right, but nevertheless, we'll at least temporarily say, all right, let's concede for the moment that every Christian who ever wrote the Bible or talked about Jesus was all lying and made it up out of nothing just so they could get murdered and executed. And all right, let's buy that. Okay? So we're going to look at sources outside of the Bible from the first two centuries of people that talked about Jesus and see what they had to say. And again, one of the reasons to do that is to establish who Jesus was. Okay, and then we're going to look at the reliability of the witnesses. We're going to spend a fair amount of time just trying to ask reasonable, logical questions, all right? So if the resurrection is a conspiracy theory, all right, given what we know about the supposed conspirators, is that a rational? And believe me, there are people out there, and you're going to bump into them. If you're on campus, you bump into them all the time. And if you spend much time on the internet, and probably nobody here does that, right? And if you're the type who tends to like to get into discussions and arguments on the internet, not a good use of your time maybe, but you know, I think some of us do that. All right, you're going to come across all these claims. So I want to give you the weapons, if you will, the tools to respond to some of those. So we'll talk about extra biblical sources of Jesus and the reliability of the witnesses. Then we'll talk about archaeology in Jesus a little bit. We'll spend a lot of time there. Then we'll have a whole lesson on messianic prophecies. And I believe this lesson alone, if somebody can read and study and understand the messianic prophecies in the background, if they could know that and reject Jesus, I don't know. I mean, they might as well reject that Abraham Lincoln was president or something like that. They're the kind of people who think that we didn't actually go to the moon. It was set up by NASA, and they created this nice little place. And so that when they jumped up, and it took them a long time to land to the ground, a very elaborate plot. So we'll talk about messianic prophecies. And then we're going to spend the most time, actually, in the whole class, probably 2 weeks, talking about the miracles of Jesus and the resurrection. And by the way, just so you know, week number 5, there's going to be a substitute teacher. It's going to be Dan Conner, because I got some conference I have to do. I run the honors program for Grossmind on our big conference. All right, so let's talk about other religious leaders. Let's try to put Jesus and who he said he was and who Christians believe he is in the context of other world leaders. So how do we already describe Confucius? Sage. Now, I don't know if we want to go there on describing Joseph Smith, all right? Some not very positive words come up. Child molester and anyway, but at least his supporters would say he was a prophet.
Yeah.
And a kind of almost a person who spoke directly to God.
Right.
Okay. You know, there's this idea that's out there. It's a very common idea. Moses, Muhammad, Krishna, Baha'u'llah. You know, they're all different ways to the same place.
Yeah.
Right? And they basically had pretty much the same teaching. You know, they had the same moral teachings. They were all basically trying to help us to know God. And so, you know, and obviously if God loved us, he'd make sure that everybody would hear about it. He just gave different people different versions of God. So, you know, God was helping out the Hindus, so they, you know, Krishna and all that kind of stuff. And he was helping out those Chinese people, so, you know, Confucius and Lao Tzu and Buddha. He kind of, you know, they're same message, same basic idea, pretty much the same thing, different people in different places. All right, I'm going to claim that that doesn't make much sense at all. In fact, it's quite irrational. Baha'u'llah. We have actual, not many of us know about Baha'u'llah, but there's actual photographs of the guy. He lived until around 1900, the founder of the Baha'i sect. He certainly had a nice beard there. All right, and Baha'u'llah and Jesus. The Baha'i would have you believe that Baha'u'llah was the next guy. There was Moses, and then there was Jesus, and then there was Muhammad, and there's Baha'u'llah. All right. And by the way, Baha'u'llah was a pretty amazing man. He really was. And he really lived, I would say, a relatively righteous life. A brilliant writer. Basically sacrificed his life for his cause. Spent the majority of his life in prison. Pretty amazing man. But do you think Baha'u'llah would have said, I'm God?
No.
All right? How many miracles do you think Baha'u'llah worked? I never heard about any. What about Joseph? Joseph Smith, any miracles? Well, you know, the whole thing with the head and the bag and translating the golden plates that got taken away, and he said if anybody asks about them, they should be killed. All right. Confucius? Did Confucius claim to be a prophet?
No.
No? Did he claim to work miracles? No. No? What did he claim?
Teacher.
He claimed to be a wise teacher. And if you read some of his stuff, Analects of Confucius, I agree. He was actually a pretty wise teacher. I put him in the top 2% of all wise teachers. Okay, what about Lao Tzu, the founder of Taoism? Did he claim to be a prophet?
No.
No. Did he work miracles? No. Did he claim to be God?
No.
No. Did he claim to have a wise teaching?
Yes.
Yes. Did he have a wise teaching? His religion is known as the religion of pure selfishness, so I don't know. Maybe. Moses. And I probably shouldn't put that cartoon about Muhammad on there, because, you know, putting up cartoons about Muhammad, you know, it could get you killed. It says, thank you for drawing, Billy, but now we have to kill you. Muhammad stick figure, you know. All right, but what about Muhammad? Did Muhammad work miracles?
No.
No. Did he claim to be a prophet?
Yes.
Absolutely. Did he claim to have had visions of angels? Yes. In fact, the parallels between Muhammad and Joseph Smith, they're almost kind of scary. All right. In fact, Joseph Smith even described himself as sort of like the Muhammad for the Christians or something like that. Buddha, what about Buddha? Miracles?
No.
No. Did people claim that these people work miracles?
Yes.
Yes. 100 years later? 200 years later? Sure. But did Buddha claim to work? What did Buddha claim for himself? To be a wise teacher, to found an eightfold noble path. To losing yourself, essentially. Becoming one with the universal thing. That's about it. What about Jesus? Let's look at the claims of Jesus for a while. All right, the guy made some fairly strong claims. And so, at the end of the day, given the claims he made, he's got to be either crazy or a liar, or maybe possibly what he said was actually true. We'll at least consider that. All right, now, by the way, I'm going to make a couple of assumptions here for the sake of just, for this discussion. I'm not going to consider the possibility that what we have recorded Jesus saying that he didn't actually say, all right? So we're going to approach this study from the perspective of when John said he said it, since he was there, that he actually said that. John's not flat out lying. Now, the reason I'm going to do that is because we can't do everything at once. You see what I'm saying? So we're going to just look at the claims of Jesus, take them at face value, all right, and then just ask basically what they would say. So let's go to John 5:39. John 5:39. So who is Jesus? Well, a good question is, who did he say he was? I don't know. That seems like the place to go to. Seems sort of obvious to me anyway. John 5:39. He said to the Jewish scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law, he said, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." So what's Jesus claiming about himself here? He's saying the entire Old Testament was written about him. Wow, that's a pretty big claim.
Yeah.
All right, now I want you to stand up. Please.
I want you to let the crowd know that the entire Old Testament was written about you.
The entire Old Testament was written about me.
Wow.
It's all about me.
Thank you, Daniel. We're laughing.
Yes.
Now imagine Daniel said, "Yeah, entire Old Testament was written about me." You're all laughing. And then he goes, "Why are you laughing? The entire Old Testament was written about me. Now what do you think?"
Crazy.
Crazy. All right? People were not laughing. The Pharisees did not say, Jesus was the kind of teacher when he said stuff, people did not laugh, unlike the Monty Python movie, Blessed are the Cheesemakers. Life of Brian there. All right. Jesus claimed, and that's a pretty outrageous claim, but I don't know how many of you there with the sermon that I taught was the Sunday before last, but, and we're going to see that. We're not going to spend a lot of time there just because we've covered this previously. But when Jesus says that, and then there's the thing with Isaac carrying the wood up the same mountain that Jesus carried it up, and, there's the gambling at his feet and the fact that he rose from dead on the third day, and he fulfilled all these prophecies. Would any other person who ever lived, even begin to even remotely think about possibly claiming that the entire Old Testament was written about them?
No.
No. And yet, even the enemies of Christianity would have to admit that at the very least, you could create a pretty good case for it. All right? In fact, I think you can create a case that's exactly right. In fact, in Matthew 5, when Jesus says, "I came to not to put an end to the law, but to complete the law," to fulfill it. I believe it's literally true. He fulfilled it. I don't know. That's quite a claim. Let's go to John 6:35. Now, Jesus had a way of making claims and then doing stuff that kind of sort of filled in the room for doubt, I guess, if you will. John 6:35. Then Jesus declared, "I'm the bread of life. Who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty."
Wow.
Okay. What do you think about that?
I'm trying to pick on somebody here. All right. Turn. Go for it. I want you to stand up, and I want you to look people.
If you believe in me, you will never go hungry and never go thirsty.
All right. What about bread?
I'm the bread of life.
What do you think? It doesn't cut it. All right, come on. Now, by the way, we're going to go through these plays. I'm not going to keep doing this because it's going to get a little bit silly after a while. But, you know, when Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life," nobody laughed. You know? And one of the reasons nobody laughed is, well, what had he done either that day or maybe one day before? What had he done? Well, okay, maybe he did, that's true, but I think more relevant to the claim to be the bread of life. He made bread. All right? He made bread. And, you know, when you see Jesus making these claims, you don't people standing up and saying, "Hello? You're the bread of life?" You know? Now, people did make some comments, and we'll see some of those, like, "Wait a minute, isn't this the carpenter's son?" I mean, all right, I could see that. You know, they could say to Daniel, "Isn't he some guy that I don't know? He's a student at San Diego State." But I suppose the Messiah could have been a student at San Diego State. I mean, they wouldn't rule it out. All right, I mean, I guess so. It's not really a criticism of his claim. And you know, yeah. Yeah, good point. And for example, we now have an actual, and this is just recent, all right? My faith is not based on this new manuscript of Mark that was found, all right? It's certainly not. Okay, and by the way, that's what this class is about. So I'm going to sort of briefly, we're going to spend like lots and lots of time discussing that very question, okay? That's what this class is about. All right, but let me just throw something out. So we now have at least a little piece of Mark from the 80s AD, so from within 50 years of when Jesus was walking the earth, okay, I don't know, Jack, I don't know, when was your first child born?
When?
Yeah, what? How long ago?
Well, that's a long time ago.
What, about 50 years ago?
Yeah.
More than that.
Yeah, right. All right, so do you remember what it was like when you gave birth?
Yes.
All right. Did it hurt?
Yes.
Do you believe? Now she says that she actually had a child and it actually hurt. Do you think her memory is reliable after 50 years?
Yes.
I mean, you know, this idea that the Gospels, which were written, say, 20 or 30 years later, and we now have basically actual physical proof. 50 years later, the idea that, you know, people's memories would somehow not be reliable 50 years later. I mean, I'm 60. I remember what it was like when I was 10 years old. People have this approach towards evidence to Jesus that they don't use in any other situation. It's crazy. It's really crazy. So that's a good question. All right, so we have proof, if you will. It was written down 50 years later. And by the way, not only was it written down, but it had been passed around so much, there were so many copies, that were people were taking old copies that weren't even worth much anymore and shredding them and making them into a burial mask. So how old was that manuscript that was turned into a burial mask in AD? I don't know, at least 20 years. You know, back then, they didn't have printing presses, you know? So things were, you know, how old was this manuscript? Old enough, they had enough copies sort of around in circulation that they, you know, they would have shredded it. All right? So there's my brief answer to your question, but we'll get back to that. Okay? So Jesus he looked at the crowd and he says, if you believe in me, I will give you eternal life. Did Moses say that?
No.
Did Baha'u'llah make that promise?
No.
All right. Joseph Smith?
No.
Has any living person ever made a statement even remotely like that and had anybody who lived at the same time believe it? Probably we could find some whacked out crazy group of 10 people somewhere. Probably. I suppose. Okay? John 8.
Well, when Jesus was alive, how many people believed it?
Thousands. Obviously, thousands. There were 3,000 that were baptized just 50 days after he died.
I know, I said while he was alive.
We can't say. Certainly tens of thousands. Tens of thousands. I mean, people were flocking to Palestine from all over because of his healing ministry. Right? I don't know. We can't say. But what we don't have is any evidence of people laughing or, you know, completely dismissing him. And we're going to see examples of that. For example, in John 11, you know, the guys who said, let's go kill him, they believed he raised Lazarus from the dead. They didn't disbelieve the miracle. They just had a different response to it. I believe their response to try to kill him was a reasonable response. The unreasonable response is to say, oh, it's a nice, good religious teacher. You know, maybe I'll go to church on Easter. I think the American response of, let's say, the 70% middle that aren't atheists and hate or aren't really committed believers, I think their response is the irrational one. Is that? Yeah, Jesus, good guy, you know. Yeah. That's the one that doesn't make sense. That's the group we don't have from the first century. There's no evidence of that kind of people. The ones who fell at his feet and the ones who wanted to kill him. Those seems to be the only two groups that it seemed to emerge. John 8. I'm going to go out of order because this will be fun. John 8:46. Actually, it's the same order in the overhead. He's having a little bit of a interaction with them. They're claiming that he's doing miracles by demons. And we'll get back to that later on. But I kind of like this one in John 8:46. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Now, I'm going to use myself as an example. Can anybody here prove me guilty of sin? My wife, did you? Did you want to tell them what happened last night? I thought we had a bump last night, and I get significant part of the blame. But Jesus said to a group of people who'd known him, been around him intimately for months and even years, and he said, "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" Now, it's interesting to look at the response. Verse 48, then the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are Samaritan and demon-possessed? Now, that's interesting. Now, if I were to say, can any of you prove me guilty of sin, people who know me would start listing them. Right?
Yeah.
That's not what they did. They didn't say, yeah, Jesus, that time I saw you lusting. And there's that one time, remember when somebody sort of made an off-color comment and you just totally lost? Remember that? lazy. There's none of that. And so all they did was they basically changed the subject. You know, how about any of us? This man basically said, I am without sin. And again, the only people who would ever make that claim are crazy people. Absolutely. And Jesus. And we have to ask ourselves, could anybody even begin to claim he's crazy? His enemies don't claim he's crazy. Well, actually, some did. We'll see that. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? How about Buddha? Did Buddha claim to be without sin?
No.
No. Did Joseph Smith claim to be without sin? No. Drinking, smoking cigars, you know, and never mind stealing people's wives and having sex with them. But, yeah.
This may be slightly off the subject. If you have the answer after, that's fine. What were they saying when they say, I get there, are we right in saying they're demon-possessed? But what were they trying to do by calling them a Samaritan?
Basically, throwing out a smear, you know. It's like in a political thing. If you don't really like, want to respond to their political position, you call them a liberal.
Right.
A liberal. What's that, you know? That's a logical fallacy. Don't call them a teabagger. Call them a teabagger or something like that. You know, that's the kind of stuff they do in political campaigns. Just throw a word out there just to change the subject. That has nothing to do with the issue. You just throw a word, an angry word, and that's all they're doing there. First of all, they didn't think it was a Samaritan. Nobody, you know. So that's interesting. Okay, what about John 8? Let's read on down a little bit lower there. John 8, verse 58. I'm going to go back to verse 54. Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. Well, there's a claim right there, but I guess some other people claim to know God. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Remember, he already said that the whole testament was about him, and he's kind of going off on that a little bit there. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Yahweh. That's the name of God. He's claiming to be God. He didn't say before Abraham was born, I was. I mean, there's a religious leader would say that, right? The Dalai Lama. The Dalai Lama claims to have been reincarnated many times. So he'd say, before Abraham was born, I was. All right, Dalai Lama, he might say that. Would Dalai Lama say, before Abraham was born, I am? I don't think so. I don't think so. All right. And so what did they do? They picked up stones to stone him. So were they confused about his claim? They're saying, what's he mean? Right? Before everyone was born, I am. What's that? You know, was it the grammar? Did they not get the grammar of it or something like that? Okay, why did they pick up stones to stone him? Because if you claim to be God, in a Jewish context, either you are God or they kill you. So, did Jesus claim to be God?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, we can talk about whether he was or he wasn't. But if he wasn't God, then I guess he's a liar, but kind of not a very smart liar because, you know, generally when people lie, they lie in a way that works to their advantage. You know what I'm saying? It's going to work to I lie. I remember the time I was smoking a cigarette, I put it in my pocket, my coat, and it caught on fire. So I went home and I said that the dog had eaten. So my mom called the lady of the dog, you know. Anyway. But why did I lie? Because I was trying to kind of work things out better for my situation. What's this lie going to do for Jesus? Get him killed immediately. Liar? Does that make sense? To describe Jesus as a liar, that doesn't make sense. Now, we're going to take a break here. All right, about a 5-minute break. And we want people to sign up who didn't yet. And hopefully there's still muffins and coffee. So we'll take a 5-minute break and then we'll keep going. Just one comment. There are a couple of books for the class. I would call them textbooks exactly. This one here, Reasons for Belief. About the first 2/3 of this book is covering the material that we're doing in this class on the miracles of Jesus, the resurrection, the claims of Jesus. So that's something you may want to pick up. You don't have to, but there's copies of it over here. $12. All right. If nothing else, you could maybe kind of get a little bit more information and use that and share with a friend who didn't come to the class. Then the last two weeks are going to be on the miracles of Jesus. And so this class, this book, That You May Believe, that I wrote with Dave Eastman on the miracles of Jesus and miracles in general, there's that if you're interested. Okay, so those are a couple. We've got other books here that you can get if you want. But those two, I think, would be helpful for this class. Again, they're sort of the textbook from the class, but not exactly. Okay, great. So Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am, taking the name of Jehovah on himself. And it's not like people are confused about what he's talking about. Let's go to John 10, verse 30. Now, if Jesus was trying to make friends with the Jewish leaders, he had kind of not the best approach here at times. All right? All right, I'm going to go back to verse 25. The verse we're going to look at is verse 30. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. They're asking, are you going to claim to be the Christ or not? The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. He's reminding him that he is the bread of life. Right? That's virtually the identical claim he already made to be the bread of life. Okay? My Father who's given to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and the Father are one. He's saying, I'm one with the Father. Now, I suppose that could have more than one meaning. I could say my wife and I are one. Well, after having had a little bump last night, I don't know. We're close. We're working on it, all right? We're working on it. We're doing pretty well. Well above average, okay? But, so somebody could say that. I could even see, Buddha saying I'm one with creation or something like that, I suppose. But how did the audience interpret what he said? Well, let's read on. Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? They said, we're not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. So how did those who heard him say that I and the Father are one, how did they apparently interpret it? What was he claiming?
To be God.
He says, I'm God. Alright? And I don't know, we could pick on, we could have a female, or we could have Amy's, I'm God. Has anybody ever claimed to be God? Yeah, crazy people. Happens all the time. Schizophrenics. Happens all the time. Now maybe Jesus wasn't saying he was God. Maybe he was saying, I have a really tight relationship. All right? And so when they said, you're claiming to be God, now what would he have done at that point? Who said, no, you don't understand. I'm not saying that. He didn't exactly explain that that's not what he's saying. In fact, that is exactly what he was saying. Jesus claimed to be God. That's who we're talking about. We're not talking about just some religious You remember, one of the options was one religious leader amongst many religious leaders. He's the only religious leader who ever claimed to be God in the flesh. Okay? And so that's who we're talking about. That's the man we're talking about here. He made a number of other claims. What about John 11? John 11, verse 25. I'm going to go back to verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Okay, and then Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Imagine a man claiming to be the resurrection. He said, not I offer resurrection, not I'm here to make the opportunity available. He said, I am. And again, he's using the word I am. He's claiming to be God, but he's claiming to be the resurrection and the life. Now, Jesus had a way of kind of backing up his claims by doing something that was kind of, you know, parallel to that, right? So what did he do? Lazarus, dead 4 days, atop a warm climate. All right? They go out to the cave, and he says, roll back the stone. And they say, Jesus, it's going to smell really bad. Why? That's a bad idea to roll back that stone. And Jesus says, roll back the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. Now, could it be that 50 years later, you know, 80 AD, people were confused about whether this event had actually happened or not? How many people were here? I don't know. A few hundred? Maybe only a couple hundred. Apparently it was a large crowd, but probably at least several hundred. At least several hundred witnessed this. I like to look at the response here. He says in verse 44, he says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This guy Lazarus was walking around. He was walking around. And by the way, the plot to kill Jesus included a plot to kill Lazarus. For good reason. I mean, killing Jesus was not enough. He had to kill Lazarus. Did the Jews question whether Lazarus had been raised from the dead?
No.
Did they question whether he was the resurrection and the life?
Jesus.
Yeah, well, yes, some people, apparently they did. In fact, let's look what happened in verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. No kidding. You'd think maybe they would, yeah. All right? You know, if I were to, you know, go into a morgue and pull out some of those drawers and start going boom, 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 and the people step on and walk out, I think people, that might get people to, you know, put their faith in me. Of course, that's never going to happen. And besides, I don't know, if somehow, I don't know, I had this power, I would tell people, no, don't put your faith in me. You know, Jack and I were talking about, you know, a healing that he was a witness to. And, you know, even if you were blessed to be involved, God used you somehow, I don't know, to be involved in healing, you wouldn't say, see? And then people start saying, oh, man, you know, no, Jesus didn't do that. They put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting in the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing, they asked. Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Then one of them named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it's better for you that one man die for the people, then the whole nation perish. How ironic is that statement coming from Caiaphas? So they decided to kill him. I think the decision to kill him was a reasonable one. Certainly more reasonable than, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, you know, I don't go to church. I don't go to church. But I believe in him. In fact, I believe I'm a Christian and I'm going to go to heaven. That's not right. That makes no sense at all. I mean, there seem to be two groups here. The ones who put their faith in him and said, he is God and he is my Lord. And the people said, we're going to kill him. But you don't see a lot of ho-hum sort of, the typical response to Jesus today, you don't see. Why is that? I think part of the reason is because we haven't done a good enough job of just sort of teaching this lesson. You know, sit down and, I don't know, let's go through John and see what it says about Jesus. And what's your response to that? And I think at that point, hopefully, you'll either get them to be mad at you, angry, and get it out of my face. So, you know, I don't get to read the Bible anymore. Okay. Either, or maybe, hopefully, put their faith in him. That's one of the reasons we read John with people, okay? All right, John 4, you know, I've got other things on my list, other claims, but at this point, does it really matter? Do we need to have any more claims? He claims to be the resurrection and life. He claims to be without sin. He claims that he and the Father are one. He claims to be God. I mean, so I guess I'm going to look at these other claims a little bit more briefly, you know. John 28:18, he said, I have all authority in heaven and on earth. That's a lot of authority. He says, I have total, utter authority over everybody. I have total authority over you. Wow, that's pretty, that's not me, I'm just quoting there. That's pretty good. How about John 14, verse 6? Here's a good one. This is the one where he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. It kind of connects to his claim to be the resurrection and the life. It kind of connects to his claim to be the bread of life. And he says, you know, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? All right, there you go. That's logical. He says, I'm the way. They say, well, cool, thank you, but since we don't know it, that's not going to help us. So can you tell us the way? And he says, I am the way. Just, I am the way. Not I have the way. Other religious leaders, Buddha might have said, I have the way. In fact, that is what Buddha claimed. He claimed to have the way. All right? He claimed to have the way. All right? And Muhammad, I guess we could say, claimed to have the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. Not I have it, not I offer it, I'll write it down for you, let me just explain it to you. He said, I am the way. And he says, no one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the only path by which anybody can have eternal life. All right, again, just imagine somebody saying that. You know, if he believes it, and it's not true, then this guy has got serious issues going on, serious issues. That or it's true. Or maybe he didn't say it, but then if he didn't say it, then why would John have said that he said it, since, you know, again, kind of thrown in prison and killed and all that kind of stuff. In fact, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the reliability of the witnesses. And then there's Mark 2, 1 through 12. I'm just going to give you the references. You can look them up later. Mark 2, 1 through 12, where Jesus said, Son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And they say to him, who is this man? Who is this man to claim to have the power to forgive sin? And again, I don't know if any human in history has ever claimed to have the ability to forgive sins. No religious leader, none, has ever claimed to have the power to forgive sins. Jesus did. And they said, you know, who are you to claim to forgive sins? So what's he do? He heals the guy. And he says, which is harder, to heal this guy or forgive the sins? That's a good question. I still haven't figured out the answer to that. Which is harder? I guess probably to forgive sins. I guess so. But I'm still not sure exactly. Because anybody could say I could forgive sins. So that might have been a little bit ironic. All right. So again, so to kind of summarize, we'll talk about it a little bit more. But, you know, given the claims of Jesus, all other views of Jesus are kind of ruled out. Let's go back to our list. We had a nice little list of possible things. Sage? Well, if his claims are true, then he certainly was a sage, but a lot more than that. Prophet? We haven't seen him claiming to be a prophet, but he did claim to be a prophet. Liar? I don't know. Crazy person? Did he claim to be the Messiah? Absolutely he did. Matthew 16. In fact, in the context of John 8, he said, yes, I've already told you I'm the Messiah. Why are we having this conversation? But some of these seem to be sort of ruled out. Man? I think that's kind of, that one's out. Or put it this way, if he's a mere man, he's a crazy man. Or just a total bizarro person, we should say thank you that they killed him. Get this guy out of the way. Oh my goodness gracious. An important religious leader amongst many? That's crazy talk. This, which is what New Age people and Hindus and many, and basically many people would say, this is crazy talk. If that's true, then he's one of these things up here. If he's just a man, then he's also one of these things up here. In which case, just forget that, dude. Right? So what about those possibilities that he's crazy or a liar? I don't know. What do you think? Was Jesus insane? Well, let's go to Mark 3. Some people try to claim he was insane. And, you know, you could see why they'd say that. You know, some people's going to, I don't know, somebody's going to go off to Sierra Leone and offer, you know, to help people with Ebola. You say, that person's crazy. Maybe they are. Or maybe they just care. I mean, maybe they just love care. You kind of maybe ask a few questions. Is this person crazy or is it just because they care? This is because they care. Okay, so Mark 3. By the way, I'm doing a lot of talking. Please, we've had a few questions, but don't hesitate at all to throw out questions. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say it's interesting to me when Jesus said, what do people say about me? Who am I? That even the responses of what people think about Jesus is amazing. Like, you're Elijah raised from the dead, you know, a prophet that had died 600 years beforehand. They're saying he's Elijah come back from the dead, or
yes.
John the Baptist raised from the dead. I think it's amazing that even the claims about Jesus that other people were putting on him, even though they were short of calling him God, those were pretty powerful descriptions of who they thought he was.
In fact, that was the first scripture in my outline that I forgot to go to. So let's go there, Matthew 16. Thank you for reminding me. Given Jesus' career, people were bound to say, who is this man?
Right.
Who is this man? I think that's a question we need to get people to ask.
Mm.
I think we kind of let people sit in this irrational state that makes no sense at all. It's completely illogical. Lupita was sharing about she's taking this nice class about the Bible at San Diego State. A nice teacher. Apparently he's a really nice guy. That's cool. But he's going to probably present Jesus as a nice guy, you know, who did some nice things and said some nice things. I could be wrong. All right, I'm not sure. I don't want to prejudge, but that's, well, I'm guessing it might be something along those lines. But that doesn't really make sense. So who is this man? Matthew 16. Actually, Jesus got the conversation started. And maybe we should follow, you know, maybe we should get that conversation started. Who do you think he is? So when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, 16:13, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Now, why would they say Elijah? Does anybody know? Because of the prophecy in Malachi chapter 4. At the very, very end of the Old Testament is this prophecy that the Messiah will come, and before him, Elijah will come. So why were they thinking that he might have been Elijah? Because he wore nice clothes? Because he had a nice philosophy? Do you think they thought because he, you know, because he was a good teacher? Why do you think they thought maybe he was Elijah? Because of the miracles he was working. All right. And others said Jeremiah. And there was this interesting thing that it was, the Old Testament said that Elijah was going to return. And Jesus says that John the Baptist is the Elijah who was to come. But others had this idea that Jeremiah was going to come back. I don't know where they got that from. I have to study that one out. Or one of the prophets. So people said, and the people were saying, this guy is something very, very unique and special. All right. No, nobody said, he's just, I don't know, he's just one of the guys, is a really cool guy, and he's really smart. I think he's up there with maybe with Caiaphas. Caiaphas, the high priest. Were people saying of Caiaphas that he might be one of the prophets, and that he was Jeremiah? Were people saying that about Caiaphas?
No.
All right. What about Gamaliel? Were they saying that about Gamaliel, the greatest rabbi of the time? Were they saying that? I don't think so. All right, and then so you said, who do you say I am? And I think that's a great study. I think you might want to take the material from this class and have a study with somebody at work or on campus and start in Matthew 16 and ask, who do you think Jesus is? But don't just put the information out there. I'd say finish up maybe in, say, John 11 and point out that people who actually heard him say this either fell at his feet and gave their life to him, or want to kill him. So which are you? Which of the reasonable reactions to Jesus do you happen to have? And then obviously they're going to say the right one, and then we can say, all right, fine, well, let's talk about living that way rather than having those be empty words. So there you go. The people were asking, who is this man? Sage, prophet. So Mark 3, go back to Mark 3. Sorry about that, a little side trip. Thank you, Pedro, for setting us there. Mark 3, verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. So apparently, some people who knew Jesus seriously considered the possibility that he was out of his mind. Okay? Why? Sam?
Maybe because he's claiming he's the Son of God.
Yeah, he's claiming to be the Son of God. And, I mean, you know, imagine your own brother. You know, you're just hanging around at the Thanksgiving table, and your brother says, by the way, I'm the Son of God. So you can see why his family members might have thought that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would think because they saw him grow up. So they knew he was a kid, you know, that played around, and suddenly he's claiming to be God.
Right. A prophet without honor in his hometown, right? Yeah.
And it's, to your point, an appropriate response. If someone came to us today and said, I'm God,
yeah,
and said, you're crazy, in the first century, the same. And then said, wait, I will die in 3 days, I'll rise again.
Yeah. So apparently they hadn't come to faith yet. So basically they have two options, you know. Either we need to take them home and kind of, Jesus, you know, people do have nervous breakdowns, and generally we'll just give you a little, go home, we'll just take care of it for a few months, you'll come to your senses, then you go around teaching your nice little theology. And you know, so that was one option. But the thing is, what do crazy people, is it reasonable to think he's crazy? Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that, it's fine as long as he's giving his nice little lessons and his disciples and all that. But here, he's not even taking care of himself. He's not even eating.
Right.
And they're thinking, oh, he's not even taking care of himself. We got to rescue him from this. He's
yeah. It would be a little bit like your friend just one day they've been having a regular life, and one day they say, I'm going to Sierra Leone to help with the Ebola patients, you know? And like, probably you'd kind of do a little check, like, you know, is there a sudden life change or something like that? All right? But really, what do crazy people do? They do crazy stuff. Do they raise people from the dead? Not normally. Do they, you know, say, kill me and I'll be raised on the third day, and it works out that way?
No.
No. Do they have a coherent message? Do they fulfill dozens of prophecies from the Old Testament?
No.
No, they don't do that kind of stuff. So crazy is crazy. Myth is a myth. Lie is a lie. And crazy is crazy. Remember those? We got four options. Myth, liar, Lord, and lunatic. Crazy is crazy, liar is a lie, and legend is a myth is a myth. So it seems like we're left with only one. So his family says he's out of his mind. And then in verse 22, the teacher of the law who came down from Jerusalem said he's possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. Now, which thing are they trying to explain?
The miracles.
The miracles. See, the thing is, on the one hand, there's the claims, and his family's trying to explain that. On the other hand, there's the miracles, and they're trying to explain that. But the problem is, we have the claims and the miracles. So, the miracles, because of Satan, but then the claims, you know, and Jesus' response is like, you guys, this is crazy. This is totally irrational. So here I am driving out demons, and you're saying, I'm possessed by a demon. I mean, do you expect us to take this as a serious proposition here? And I have a feeling they just said, just walked away. It doesn't make sense. He's not a crazy person. And to call somebody demon-possessed would probably be the first century equivalent of saying they're crazy, they're insane. But one person says he's insane, as possessed by demons to explain the miracles, and somebody else says that he's crazy to explain his claims, but the problem is the miracles and the claims combine to say both explanations don't make any sense at all. What do crazy people do? How do they act? One thing I know is they're not like Jesus. There is not a single act in his life that is consistent with him being crazy. There are things he did that a crazy person might do. I admit that. You know, do stuff that's going to get you killed. But that crazy charge just doesn't work at all. What about a liar? What do liars do? What do liars do? First of all, they tell lies to kind of create a false impression about themselves. Jesus says, hey, kill me. I'm going to be raised from the dead on the third day. That's a nice lie. You know, Jesus' lies led to his death. Besides, can anybody with a straight face accuse Jesus of being a liar? I don't see how they can. They try to say he didn't make these claims. They try to say that. But nobody claims that he made these claims and he was a liar, because that's so inconsistent. Everybody knows, even the enemies of Christianity admit that Jesus was an amazing guy. He's an amazing guy. All right, I don't believe he's the Son of God. I don't believe he's the Messiah. I don't believe he's blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, everybody knows he's an amazing guy. The most, you know, right up there with Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa and whoever. All right, so nobody really actually claims he's a liar or crazy, because nobody believes it. It doesn't make any sense. But the problem with that is we have his claims. And if you can't claim him to be a liar or crazy and you got his claims, I don't know. I only see one option, folks. I only see one option that makes even any sense at all. Now, I don't think I'm going to be able to finish this topic. How am I doing here? Yeah, I've got about another 5 minutes to go. I'm going to introduce it and we'll kind of finish it up next week. So, and how many of you have kind of heard on the internet or kind of had your friends say, this whole thing is this myth they created about Jesus? How many of you come across that? Raise your hand if you come across that. Maybe half of you. All right. Well, that's because maybe you're not engaging in a super duper number of discussions with people. But I'm telling you, the people are looking for excuses that I believe in Jesus. This is out there. This is all over the internet. What's that movie, Zeitgeist or something? What's that?
Yeah.
What's the name of that movie?
Zeitgeist.
Yeah, Zeitgeist. That's a whole thing on the Jesus being a myth. Well, here's the premise. Here's the premise. They say Jesus, you know, he might have been a real person. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But it doesn't matter that much because he's just one person, you know. He probably was a controversial religious teacher. He probably lived in Palestine 2,000 years ago and might even have been killed. We're not sure. Can't say for sure. But, you know, probably there was an actual, you know, more likely than not, there was a person named Jesus. All right. But the things that Christians claim about Jesus, first of all, he never made any of those claims. And second of all, they just made them up because they're trying to make Jesus into something they want him to be. So basically, what the idea here is that the Jesus of the New Testament is a myth. Not that he didn't necessarily live at all, but they turned a simple person into this huge myth. And the claim is something like this. You know, many, many ancient cultures had God becoming man. You know, the Greeks had God becoming man. The Hindus had God becoming man. The Egyptians had God becoming man. The Greeks did. The Persians. They all had God becoming man. There was a group of Jews who didn't have a God-man myth, so they made one up. So they could kind of be like all the other religions and have their own God-man myth. So what they did was they took a little bit from Isis, they took a little bit from Krishna, took a little bit from Empedocles, these names are there, some on the list there, Peregrinus, Apollonius, and they kind of cobbled together all these miracles and all this sort of stuff and all these claims so that they could, you know, have their own really awesome sort of religion so that people would believe it. And once they got this religion started, they wanted to kind of, you know, make it into something that people will stay with. Jesus is a myth. By the way, I don't believe that. just seeing all that. So on the tape, just, you know, I'm not saying that's what I believe. So you quote Jesus a myth, you know. Be careful, people will quote you, you know. All right? So they would make Jesus kind of like King Arthur. I think King Arthur was a real person. I'm pretty sure he actually was. But almost everything they say about him is obviously, you know, embellished, to say the least. Or maybe like Robin Hood. I think probably Robin Hood was an actual person who actually lived. But almost everything, you know, the Disney movie, you know. All right. Or maybe like Romulus. You know Romulus and Remus?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Rome might possibly have been founded by a pair of brothers named Romulus and Remus. And that might even be where the name Rome came from. Maybe. But almost everything we think we know about Romulus and Remus are mythical. So that's the claim. Jesus is like that. All right? And so, basically, there are all these parallels in Jesus' life to this dying and rising God-man-savior myth. Adonis, Osiris. And they'll claim parallels. For example, they'll say Krishna has a miraculous birth. And they'll say that Mithra was tested by demons. And they'll say that Peregrinus worked miracles. And they'll say Osiris was executed on a hilltop. And they'll say that Attis was betrayed by his brothers. And they'll say that that Mithra had 12 disciples. And they'll say that Apollonius of Tyana was killed and raised from the dead. And you know, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So now the question is, does this make any sense?
No.
Now, unfortunately, I'm going to be ending the class before I completely refute all this. So let me say this, first of all, I'll spend a little bit of time on this. This is crazy stuff. This is horrible, horrible scholarship. And what it is, it's a mixture of out and out, utter, absolute lies and fabrications. And then sort of manipulation of information, you know, to create an impression that if you simply read what is believed about, say, Peregrinus or Empedocles, and you say, if you actually, rather than just cherry-picking the supposed data, if you simply read any of these myths, and somebody says, yeah, this is like Jesus, any rational person would go, I'm going to give you some examples. We'll talk about Osiris or Apollonius of Tyana. And you kind of go, huh? So the only way it makes sense is for some person who I believe of very unknowable intention. Very unknowable intention. What they do is they'll cut and paste and then change it. Not too much, but change it just a little bit. You know? Yeah. And they get, say, almost kind of like, that's almost what they're saying. And it's kind of patched together and create this picture. In the debate, the way Doug Jacoby illustrated, it's like gumbo. Gumby or gumbo?
Gumby.
You know, scratch, you know, bend it all out of shape to make it into something that it's not. And 3/4 of it is just out and out utter lies. You'll read. They'll say, for example, say, Krishna, this, 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 and this, just like Jesus. If you start looking up, and of those 10 things, you find out two of them, I guess, kind of, sort of, that's what they said about Krishna. One or two of them, you go, And then six of them, they didn't say that at all. It's totally not even true. It's an utter lie. So that's what's going on. Let me do this. Maybe I'll just do one example, because I need to end now, basically. So these are some of the claim parallels. So I'll do the... all right, here's the story of Osiris. So what they're saying is Osiris is the model upon which the Christians made this Jesus. Osiris was... this is the myth. One problem with Osiris, by the way, he's not a real person. That's, you know, that's a big problem with this whole myth thing, is that these myths are... Where Jesus is an actual person. I know where he's born. I know the name of his mother. I know the name of his father. I know the name of dozens of his friends. I know where he died. I know where he was raised. I have thousands of direct quotes from him. And then there's Krishna. I was having an online debate with a Hindu guy, a friendly debate. And I said, so where did Krishna live? He said, somewhere between 2000 BC and 500 BC. Well, that narrows it down. Yeah. All right. So according to the myth, Osiris was killed by his brother. See? Well, Jesus was killed by his brothers. All right, see? See? His body was cut up into 13 pieces. I can see the parallel there, I guess. His wife, Isis, reassembles and sews them back 12 out of the 13 pieces. All right? Judas or something like that, and then Matthias. I don't know. All right? See? See how the... Now, this is why it's so funny. Because in the Gospels, it says their names were, you know... John and James and Peter, and you know, they're real people. The reason that the gospel says that Jesus had 12 apostles is because he had 12 apostles. They didn't say he had 12 apostles because they were reading. I mean, seriously, can you imagine these Christians making this up, reading the myth about Osiris? Oh, let's say he had 12 apostles. Maybe the reason he chose 12 is because of the Jewish thing with the 12. That's a much more reasonable explanation. Anyway, he comes back to life. He goes to rule in the underworld to judge the living and the dead. So is it believable that the Christians stole the story of Jesus from Osiris? But believe me, there's so many people out there that actually believe this stuff. So anyway, let me give you an anticipation of what we're going to be doing. Next week, we're going to spend a little bit more time on that. It'll be kind of fun, in a way, to laugh at the silliness of this. Sometimes, you know, we'll do it respectfully. We'll laugh at this idea respectfully. Okay? And then we'll look at other pictures of Jesus. We're going to look at the Jehovah's Witness idea of Jesus, the Muslim idea of Jesus. And then we're going to start to look at historical evidence outside of the Bible for Jesus. And if we're lucky, we'll probably finish about the reliability of the witnesses. So see you. Next Saturday at 9 o'clock. Jan, any comments? Jan thinks a few did not sign up yet. And feel free to pick up a copy of the book for this class. Jan, go ahead.
John, certificates from last.
Yes. Thank you. All right, we need some people up here.
Come on up and stay.
Brad, where's Brad Beavers? Fern Blackburn.
Yay!
The man who claimed to be the bread of life. Come up here. Tina Blackburn.
These are people who didn't miss any classes.
These are people who got the all classes. We give little certificates signed by the teacher.
Whoa.
Patty Koyasa. Samuel Dill. So, yeah. By the way, when Sam answers questions in class, I'm telling you, it's pretty impressive. Stephen Dill, Steve knew he's coming.
Yeah.
All right, Brian Freeman. close it up, guys. We're going to have a picture. Brian, Rob Kowalski.
Hi, Rob.
Now, I want you all, imagine at some future date, it'll be you up here getting one. Georgette, who's here. Now, Georgette probably will not make all the classes. Pray for her. She's having a surgery on Wednesday. So I'm guessing you won't be here next Saturday, probably not. Joe Ochoa, I don't see him. Marianne Plum. Marianne. Rhoda Poor. Barbara Radcliffe. I saw her. She was here when I got here. Anyway, she was, I promise. And Norma Rich. Not here? Ah. Shalini Roy. Shalini. And then Shannon Steiner. Alright. So we're gonna get a picture. One more round of applause for our devoted students. Good job, you guys. Yes, please stop by the registration table.
So we haven't signed it.
Yeah. If you didn't have the money to pay for the class today, don't worry. We're not going to hunt you down. Please sign up anyway.